This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old-school greats and new-school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
The subject of today's episode is a method of execution, which, from as far as I can see, was one of the most chaotic and disorienting forms of torture before a death that has ever existed. Going back to the 6th century BC Rome, we'll hop around almost 1,000 years of this punishment before it's abolished, only for it to be brought back in the Middle Ages by who else but the Germans. Consisting of a large sack of some sort, some animals, and a water source, this form of execution was used exclusively for a very specific type of crime. A crime that was seen as one of the most deplorable acts a person could commit. In English, it loosely translates to penalty of the sack. Today we cover poena cola. I'm Kevin Young.
And I'm Dan. I still haven't lost all of my baby fat, Hurrigan.
And this is torture.
Not as much of a fan as of poena cola as I am of the old Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola.
Yeah. I say Coca-Cola's killed more people.
Yeah. Yeah. It might be poena cola. But, you know, it could be Coca-Cola too. Who knows? I don't know. Fuck. I guess it depends on what part of the country you're from.
That's true.
So what's going on in your neck of the woods?
Severe lack of stuff, as far as I know, going on in my neck of the woods, being honest. there were riots here. Was it last week?
Yeah.
The week before?
Yeah, you were telling me about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Dublin City got crazy because some dickhead stabbed some kids in the middle of the street. Mm-hmm. So, I don't condone the reaction. You know, obviously what happened
right
to kids
right
is terrible, but
yeah,
just throwing it out there. It's the majority of people who seem to be doing what they were doing are, and most of us are not happy with them, let's just say. Like, you know, they're,
sure.
They do not represent our country.
So, there you go.
Yeah. But yeah. It's a bit ridiculous.
If you're going to get in the street and break shit as an Irishman, you better be fucking drunk just come out of the bar, goddammit, not rioting for stupid shit.
Yeah, like, there was people smashing windows and trying to get at these, were supposed to be Muslim lads. Now, the guy who did the stabbing was a foreign guy. He wasn't Muslim, though, as far as I know. But anyway, they went after any foreign person they could.
And yeah, that's not cool.
No, it's just so basically it's a bunch of scumbags using an excuse to smash it up as a rule, really.
Yeah.
They're so tired of government, despite the fact most of them are on the dole, the government subsidence thing. But they're all hailing this one guy as a hero, which is fair enough, a delivery guy or some shit, who is also a foreigner. So there you go. They have a GoFundMe set up for him to buy him a pint to thank him. And it has like over 300,000 euro built up already.
Goddamn, how expensive is a pint?
I know, yeah, it's Dublin, man. You know, it's, but while I completely appreciate, like, I mean, what he did, I also think it's kind of ironic, though, how these same people who are donating to that, raising over 300,000 euro to buy this one guy a pint, are also the same people then complaining then about housing and not being able to put people in the houses, and they're also the ones without the houses, supposedly, saying sure. The government won't do anything. Well, how about y'all put some of that towards helping out some of these people then, instead of
no shit
buying a 300,000 euro pint? But that's just my thoughts.
Yeah. I mean, nothing wrong with, you know, saying thanks to the guy and doing, you know, what you can, but there's other stuff you need to take care of.
Yeah, it's yeah, but not by any means, say, trying to take away from what anybody did or any of that stuff. It's more kind of the, trying to think of the right word. It's kind of the double standard of some of it. You know, it's just, yeah.
This happened like last week, was it?
I think it was about 2 weeks ago now.
2 weeks ago? Is it still just like all over the news and people still going crazy about it?
People are still talking about it, and they shut down the city for a couple of days or a day or so and stuff like that because some people are afraid to open up businesses and some people couldn't. Yeah. You know, like there was public transport set alight, police attacked, stuff like that. I don't know why they're attacking the police, but sure, look.
Well, as the police in Ireland and the police here, I can understand attacking the police here, but they're two completely different institutions.
Yeah. That's mad, though. It's like, and all one reason they're like, odd, because they weren't there to protect people and all this stuff. And it's like, well, they can't be everywhere at once.
You know,
that's the thing. Like, is I saying, like, I have a member of the police living directly across the road from me now. If I walked around the corner and I just randomly stabbed somebody, unless he sees it, you know, like, what? He meant to magically teleport to me and just be like, hey, we're the cops. You know, it's not like the vegan police and fucking, what you call it?
Or the grand. Yeah.
Scott Pilgrim.
Oh yeah, just show up out of nowhere.
Yeah, you partook in that. I won't take a chicken parmesan. Chicken parmesan's vegan.
Yeah, where's O'Connell? He's supposed to be up there with those kids before they get stabbed.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's the fact that the whole city went berserk, and it's covered the, you know, it's been all over the news and shut down the city and all that. For a few kids getting stabbed, and we just murder children in their own school. And it's like, news at 11, 19 children dead inside school. And look at what new movies are out for the wintertime. Yeah. It's just kind of part and parcel with everyday life over here.
And so another news, a baby fox was born yesterday.
Exactly. You got some lady at a fucking squirrel fashion show. People make fun of it. And, you know, other countries, they'll look at it and make fun of it and be like, oh, you know, Americans don't care. But that's the way it is. Every day you hear about something horrible like that happening, and then it's just, okay, what's next? Just move along. So, yeah, that really sucks. But you say, hey, what are you going to do? Like, it's some insensitive thing, but honestly, there's nothing.
Yeah, that's
you can
the thing. Yeah, you get used to it as well, though. I'm sure over there, like, you're
completely desensitized.
Yeah, we're not over here. You see, which is probably a big part of the spark, the reaction of what happened.
Yeah,
you know,
which is good.
Angry over
you shouldn't be desensitized to children being murdered.
Yeah, yeah.
It's or even attacked. You should. It's nothing. You should ever get desensitized. It's one of the few times I wish we were more like France, because France will riot if you raise the retirement age by a year. The entire country will explode. There will be fireballs everywhere. We just go, yes, sir. Thank you, sir. May I have another? That's pretty much.
We're just saying.
There was a study done by Princeton, and I know we're getting way off topic, but there's a study done by Princeton University. That showed, you know, you got a graph, and if 0% of the people want something, then 0%, there should be a 0% chance that it gets passed into a law. If 100% of people want something, then it should be 100% chance of it being turned into a law. But no matter where what we want falls on that graph from 0 to 100%, there is literally always a 30% chance of a bill getting passed. If nobody in the country wants it, but the fucking politicians in D.C. decide it's a good idea, there is a 30% chance it will pass. If everybody in the country wants it, there's a 30% chance it will pass.
So if
unless
there's
you're
a law sitting there potentially that every single person in the country has to hand up 5 marshmallows per month to a local priest. and that has to be passed by law. There's a 30% chance that that could be a law.
If it's voted on strictly by Congress, if it's something that's state by state,
well,
then
I'm
going to
push
that's different.
I'm going to have to push now for this Catholic marshmallow tax.
Yeah, if it's a state by state thing, it's different. But federally, yeah, there's a 30% chance that even the worst idea ever could be voted into, could become a bill. Unless, of course, you're a corporation or one of the top, like, 1%, they have the money and the power to change stuff. Theirs goes more along the lines of the 0 to 100. But, yeah. So.
That's crazy.
That's kind of the way it is. Anyway, let's get back on topic.
Anyway, Dan, back to Coca-Cola.
back to torture. Shit, we already live there. Dan, let's take you back to the 4th century Rome. To the time of Constantine the Great, you have just been found guilty of parricide, or the killing of a close family member, like a father, or a mother, or a brother, or anything like that. And because of the Romans' view on people that murder their family members, your punishment is death. Now, with this punishment comes a whole ritual. First, you are whipped with vitreous sanguinis, which is probably just meant red-colored rods, possibly painted red in symbolism, or they become red from your blood. Then your head is placed inside a sack made of wolf's skin. Wooden clogs were then placed on your feet, possibly something placed on your legs. It was kind of vague. And then you are shoved inside a sack made of ox leather. Then a viper, a chicken, a dog, and a monkey are thrown in with you. The sack is then sealed up, sewn to almost completely waterproof, possibly then covered in pitch, and then thrown into the nearest deep body of water. This is the punishment of Poena Kula.
It's so overly complicated. It's like the turducken from hell.
Well, you'll see later on that it... See, just throwing the animals in there, it's bad. But throwing the animals in there, at least they might serve a purpose. Later on, you'll see that they just do stupid shit just to keep that tradition alive. And it's all like, right. Why? You are going way too far.
Throwing away the cheese.
No reason.
He's lactose intolerant.
It's silly. By the end of it, it's fucking silly. Now, the horror of that seems bad enough until you really take a look at what's happening. Then it gets much worse. First off, they didn't always use an ox skin sack. That kind of just fed into the whole ritual of it. A lot of times, they would just use a wine sack. Back in these days, they used to transport wine in a bag, like Canadians with milk.
Mm.
Do you put milk in bags over there in Ireland, or you do jugs? Like
no,
we do?
No, we do. It's like cartons or
plastic
bottles.
Okay,
yeah.
Big plastic that we do too, but we call it a jug of milk. Mm. Yeah, it's a jug.
We're not fucking weird like Canadians.
Canadians are just weird. Just love them to death, but come on, it's just. You pour a thing of milk and you're like, and then you got to buy like a little specialized pitcher just for that. It's like, you know, when we buy it, it comes with the pitcher. That's what the milk is in.
It's also made from 100% recyclable material. So,
over there. Yeah. Here, it's just landfills to the brim.
Oh,
it's
right.
It's just, that's where the diapers are kept. That's
so the entirety of Manhattan
wood.
Is built on
there's,
this. New
there's,
York State.
There's
milk
jug mountain. Milk jug. We're horrible. So now they would use these giant bags. And I mean, they're big bags. They're like 50 some odd, 60 some odd gallon bags. They're large sacks.
Jesus.
And they would be obviously waterproof because they're filled with wine. Now, after you and the animals were in there, you were sealed up, sewn shut. Then, in some cases, the opening was covered in pitch or tar to make it even more waterproof. And now, after you're in there and it's sewn shut, now you have to deal with the animals. Now, obviously, the viper or snake, they make the distinction between sometimes it's just a regular snake that would be, you know, would bite you, but it wouldn't be, either wouldn't be venomous or wouldn't be venomous enough to really harm you too much. And sometimes they say it's an actual viper, like a pit viper. If it bites you, your leg's going to swell up to the size of a fucking, you know, log. Yeah. And so it's whatever they have just laying around, I guess. And of course it will bite you once you accidentally step on it a few times or roll over on it. The rooster would peck and scratch the shit out of you. The dog would probably bite. And the monkey will do God knows what. Throw shit at you, bite you, scratch you.
Kick the shit out.
Beat the living shit out of you. And that's another thing with the monkey. Sometimes they said sometimes monkey, sometimes they said ape, like a young chimpanzee. So I would rather be in there with like a spider monkey or than a
chimpanzee or some chimp, yeah.
Because a chimpanzee is going to rip your face off.
Yeah.
A monkey is just going to bite you a bunch of times and give you AIDS and outbreak happens, I guess. I don't know. But I'd much rather have just the monkey. And then you're thrown in the river or the sea, whichever is closer, which, again, goes into the ritual. It's like, well, if it's a ritual, you should really pick one or the other. They're like, nah, just throw them wherever. Whatever's closest. Mm. If there's a sea, throw them in it. If there's a river, toss them in it.
Cow trough.
A large puddle, go
fuck
ahead. Exactly. Just throw them wherever. You go down as the fucking fountain from Friends, and there's this guy in a sack wrestling around. <It's> really...
Marcel the monkey and Widow.
Marcel is the monkey. Oh, fuck. Now, you would think that the bag would start to fill with water, but it's not the case. Again, it's waterproof. The object of this punishment wasn't drowning, usually. It was suffocation and getting viciously mauled by animals.
Ooh.
And depending on who or what died first, you could also become that animal's final meal. So, because they will eat you.
Yeah.
You know, the dog... I mean, almost the second you are dead, the dog will start to eat your face. It just, that's how it is. If you don't, they did studies. They showed that when a person dies in the home, a dog will wait an entire 10 minutes before they start to eat the muscular parts of your body. And cats don't wait much longer than that. They don't care.
I'm alive and my cat already tries to eat me. So.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, no, my dog would never do. My dog loves me so much. Your dog does love you. When you're alive and you can feed it. Once you're dead and you can't feed it anymore, you're still going to feed it with your ass meat. All right? It will eat you.
I'd say thank God I don't have a dog, but... You know, I have two asshole cats, so that's probably
worse. They'll eat you. They will eat you.
Yep.
They will.
Yeah. I will.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care. I'll be dead. Yeah. As long as my dog will be okay. Like, I don't have to worry about my dog starving to death because there's 230 some odd pounds of meat here for it to just go to town. He'll be all right. So why such a horrible punishment for this very specific crime? Well, that's because of how the Romans viewed interfamilial murder. Hell, the Romans considered the act of spilling the blood of someone who gave life to be gravely deplorable, so much so that it was associated with the very derailment of social order. It's like, you killed a mother? How can you kill somebody that brought somebody else into this world? You know?
Just hating mothers who are on their periods, then. Once a month, they hate them.
They viewed parasitism as a form of social corruption that could even taint the blood of wild animals who feasted upon the executed corpse of such a criminal. Anyone convicted of parricide was not just a criminal, but a special kind of criminal who was seen as a foul thing, unclean, causing the gods to withdraw their presence from a world he polluted. Now, the body of the criminal also had to be removed in a certain way, as if the body was poison whose miasma, or oppressive or unpleasant atmosphere which surrounds or emanates from a person or a thing, would spread to others. It's like this contagion. It's like he's going to cause other people to be sick with it if you kill somebody of your own family.
Killed his daddy disease. Something like it's just
killed his daddy disease. That's fucking killed my dad. And they're like, get away! Yeah. Catch it.
That's what every zombie movie ever actually is. It all started from one yes. person killing their father. Just patricide.
And then yeah. See. But see, if that was true, then you'd have to go back to Roman times. There'd be that one idiot going, no, that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
People don't kill their parents. Come on. This isn't a movie. I don't know. Did they have like chicken pox parties when over there? Because over here, sometimes they'd have chicken pox parties.
Yeah, yeah. Spread it when they're kids. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Can you imagine? Oh, well, little Johnny over there killed his dad the other day, so I thought we'd just have a killing dad party, get them all yeah. together, get the contagion out of the way, get so everybody's just done with it.
It's not the father's like, damn it. Something to avoid this.
I've lived a good life. I made it almost to 26. It was a form of execution meant to cut off the cursed parent killer from contaminating the four elements. Fire, water, earth, and air. Kind of the anti-Avatar.
The Datatar.
So they throw you in a bag and separate you from all of it. Plus, back in these days, it was fairly common for the murder victim's family to be able to kind of have a go at the culprit, and that the murderer have to pay some sort of reparations to the family. But because the murderer was family, they kind of struggled over how exactly to do it. So, like, just throw in a bag and throw it in the river.
So, you commit patricide, and part of your punishment is your family could potentially cause your death, which in itself is contributing
which
to patricide.
Which is more parasite. So, yeah.
Right. Okay.
Or you you have to pay your family some type of reparations. Well, where did this come from? Oh, out of the bank account.
Yeah, it's our like, hey, bank mom, account? Can yeah, I have a loan? Yeah.
You know, all that birthday money you gave me in the past like 5 years? Here you go. There you go. I've been saving it. I was gonna buy a car, but no. You know, I killed grandpa, so
I was gonna give you a sheep, but they decided to put that in the sack with me.
I'll be warm with all the wool.
It's true. I don't want to get the shit kicked on me by a sheep, though. A drowning sheep.
A drowning sheep? Oh, it'd start butting you with its head?
Yeah.
Oh, fucking shit. Now, not every bag was completely waterproof. Some were more water-resistant. So you would eventually drown. And if you've ever been in a sack with a snake, a rooster, a dog, and an ape, that's slowly filling with water, then you know what the chaos it can bring, you know? For all those times on the weekends when you go hang out at the beach.
you're just
at the local lake, just standing there in a sack, and you're putting animals in there. Be like, all right, let's get this done and over with, and you jump in.
Sure, I remember this one time. Yeah, I remember getting into a sack, and I had, you know, a chicken, a dog, and a monkey, and a snake in it. And they're all very chilled, to be fair.
Yeah, got together perfectly fine. We wrote a song. It was a Disney movie.
Yeah. And then I jumped in the
water.
Can you
imagine the Disney?
And now I can't use my legs.
The dog, the snake, the monkey, and the cock.
Yeah. That is actually a pretty good lineup for a Disney movie, to be fair.
It is. It really is. That's
you're missing out on a thing there, Disney.
Yeah, Disney. Come on.
Had them all in a big box flying off the side of a ship, and they become best friends.
Yeah, it's fucking Madagascar.
Yeah.
Or Lion King. You just take a bunch of animals that don't belong with one another and throw them together.
Along with a human.
Yeah.
Into a body of water. You know,
except they'd make it some, like, cute kid, and he'd have to, like, learn how to speak with the animals. And I don't know. We're getting too far into it.
Some
now, I know that
learning in there somewhere.
Now, I know that many of you see this as animal cruelty, which it is. We don't like it any more than you do. But fret not. The animals weren't always involved. And the reason for it wasn't always parasite. So let's go back to the beginning, at least what we can tell the best we can from the records that came long after the fact. I almost said recordings. How weird would that be? There was a podcast back then.
Funny. Yeah.
Did you hear what happened? I'm in the river, just in a sack in the river.
Then Tiberius laughed. He said, look, it's a trashy. Actually, to be speaking fucking Latin back then or some shit.
You just add "ius" behind every word and you're fine. That's what I've come to find out. Every name has "ius" behind it.
Andreas thou's trashiest in the sackiest.
Viperus and Puppius. Now for this, we have to go all the way back to the 6th century BCE, to the time of Rome's 7th and final king before it became a republic, Lucius Tarquinius Superbus, or Tarquin the Proud, a tyrant also known as Steve Cooper.
Yeah. Steve Cooper, the barrel guy. The inventor of cracker
barrel.
He's
the one who
cheese.
Came up with that's why they started putting wine in barrels, because Steve Cooper came around. Because before they're just doing it in a bag. A tyrant that, even though he expanded the scope and area of the Roman Empire and overtook several other groups of people like the Utricians, Volsci, and the Latins, and established Rome at the head of the Latin League, strengthened its military, signed a treaty with Carthage, and extended the drainage system, he did so with an iron fist and slave labor.
I was going to say, what have the Romans ever done for us?
All roads lead to that drainage system. Now, eventually, after his son raped the wife of the great-nephew of the 5th king of Rome, he was exiled, and the city became a republic through a series of complicated channels and political diplomacy that we just are not going to cover in this.
What they did was they wrote stuff down on pieces of paper. They wrote republic, right? And then they wrote, what you call it? Ah, the words are escaping me now when I'm trying to make a joke.
Isn't that the worst? Trying to be funny and all of a sudden you can't think of anything?
Basically, they wrote loads of stuff on pieces of paper and stuck it all to all the animals and fucked them all into a sack into the river. And then whichever one came out on top, that was the type of society they were going to continue with thereafter. You know, they literally just missed out on Marxism by a tiny little bit.
So. Just a bunch of sacks floating in the river and they're bobbing for it like apples, reaching their face in there and grabbing, pulling
Republic!
Out whatever they can.
We got Republic!
Republic! Republic! Got Republic! And you know there's a group of people on the side going, oh.
Yeah.
We want capitalism. We want a harsh dictatorship that caused us all to be in poverty for the rest of our lives. Man, we don't get what we want ever.
Now, under his reign...
off with that one. Sorry, where?
Under his reign, Rome acquired the Sibylline books of prophecy and sacred rituals. He appointed 3 or 2, depending on what you read, priests called Dumveri Sacrorum to guard the books. Now, one of these priests, Marcus Attilus, was bribed and ended up telling some of the book's secrets to, again, depending on what you read, a Sabin named Petronius. For this, Tarquinius had him sewn up in a sack and thrown into the sea. Now, and I really can't state this enough, depending on what you read. Because some people are going to go looking on the internet and see like, well, let's see about this. Oh, well, that was wrong. Depending on what you read. Because there's some stuff you read and then they say, this never even fucking happened, even though it's recorded. It's just...
Yeah, we have the audio tapes. We've already covered that.
Yeah. There was a podcast back then. It had like an L and like a V and then 4 I's or something. It was good. I didn't know what it meant.
Yeah, it was the last podcast on the lefties, is what it was.
That did be the first podcast.
The first podcast on the lefties, yeah.
Oh, fuck. Did you watch Scream, was it 6?
The latest one in New York.
Yeah. You know, there's in the dorm room. There's a last podcast on the left poster.
Oh, is there?
No, there is. I immediately saw it because I have the T-shirt. I was like, ah, there they are. Oh, okay.
Started that around the same time as the Phyllis Betteris podcast started.
Yeah. Now there is a chance that the whole parasite thing came from the, and I'm putting this in quote, fact that Attilus was accused of killing his own father. There is spotty evidence of this at best. The first case of Poena Kula for some sort of parricide wouldn't actually happen for a few hundred years after the execution of Marcus Attilus. Sometime around 100 BC, a man by the name of Publicius Malleus was found guilty of killing his own mother. We know this because it was written in the Rhetoricia ad Herennium, the oldest surviving Latin book on rhetoric. Quote, another law says, he who has been convicted of murdering his parents shall be completely wrapped and bound in a leather sack and thrown in a running stream. Malleus was convicted of matricide. Immediately after he had received sentence, his head was wrapped in a bag of wolf's hide, the wooden shoes were put on his feet, and he was led away to prison. His defenders bringing tablets into the jail, writing his will in his presence, witnesses duly attending, the penalty is exacted of him. So,
just, that's interesting.
Can you imagine a lawyer back then with like a briefcase full of those fucking stone tablets? Which is like three secretaries behind him carrying more and somebody with a chisel and a hammer.
When you're fired, you're walking out with one of those funky little cardboard boxes like an abacus sticking out of it and a, couple, you know, and a quill.
They gave me a pink slip and you just take a rock out of your pocket and drop it on the ground.
But then after you get fired, you know, you meet your ex-boyfriend who's now a tree farmer working on a family farm and you fall in love back to your hometown. And,
in Yule Town.
Yeah, and your curtain drops and you've been living in a Hallmark movie this whole time.
That's right. Holy Jesus Christ. You don't know what the fuck we're talking about? Sign up on the Patreon and go, let's do our extended episode.
I think I'd kill myself.
Oh, God. Have you seen the Simpsons episode where they're making fun of Hallmark movies?
No.
And they're doing a Christmas movie in Springfield, and they're building a bunch of gazebos. Every Hallmark movie has a gazebo in it. Skinner's not only the principal of the school, but he's also the town gazebo builder.
Nice.
It doesn't make any sense.
I don't trust gazebos anymore because of Dungeons and Dragons and seeing things on the internet.
Oh, okay.
I don't. I think all gazebos are mimics. Gazebos are mimics.
Everything's a mimic.
Yeah.
Everything's a mimic. That's how my next D&D game is just going to completely end, is they're standing inside a cave or something like, we won! And it's just a mimic. And
the entire earth is a mimic. See, I did say I put up Trustpilot review.
Yeah.
And it was because of the fact that I kind of nearly wouldn't want to do an ad like this without actually trying the things out. So both you and I have ordered numerous products. I have ordered, I think it's 3 of the bundles.
Yeah.
Got the beard growth bundle with the derma roller and the growth accelerator, which I will report back in on over time because it takes weeks upon weeks, a couple of months for it to properly take effect.
Yeah. It's not one of those things where you put it on and all. It's like a cartoon, you put it on and it just poof, comes out.
Yeah, it's not the Moxinel. That's what it ain't. Like, you know, I wish it was. But I did get the shampoo conditioner bundle. I got 2 bundles of the oils also, where it has the elixir and the day tonic. So I got 2 different scents in that one of the silver tier. I think it was the Viking Storm. And I got Homer's Poem, the gold one.
Yeah, I haven't. That's the one I don't think I've tried yet. Amazing. I might get it next time I order. What's it smell like?
Like sex. I don't know. Like it's really good. Like no, like Allison loves it. See, the thing is, it's got. Whenever I put on deers, I'm going through the Viking Storm one first, and she was like, "Ooh, the smell of that." And then the other day, because I wanted to test it out, what it was like, I threw on the Night Elixir for the Hallmark's Poem, and she was like, oh my god, that's way better. Like, and the price difference between them was only a couple of euros, so I'll be buying the gold tier one next time around again, I think, because it genuinely is way nicer. But
But I think they're great though, because like I always used another kind of brand stuff, and it's worked out a good chunk cheaper, and it is way better quality. This stuff is so.
You know, you got to wait for it to be shipped to you, which can sometimes it's a lot quicker now than what it was before when they first started out. When I first got with them about 3 years ago, it took a long time to get the shipment in, and now it's a lot quicker. But for that little bit of time, you have no wash, you have no oil, and you go to the store and you get just the off the shelf stuff, and it's oil is oil, but honestly, there is such a difference between the stuff you're buying at the store for $10 and what you're getting at the Beard Struggle. That's why I keep going back to them.
Not 100%.
I love them. I do. Even though I've tried others, be like, I'll give this a try, see if it's any good. That's something you kind of have to do. If you're, you know, to see how good the quality product is, you need to try something else. And every single time it's been, well, that's no good. Get more Beard Struggle.
Yeah, that's pretty much where I am now as well. Yeah. And they have a sampler kit for each of their things. They have a
band
sampler kit. And
yeah, it comes with the... It comes with their standard scents that are kind of always there. Yeah. And so if you don't know what you would like, which so far I have not found one that has not gone over well with the wife, which is really what matters.
Straight.
But if you don't know what scent you like, you get the sampler kit and you find out. You'll probably find out that you like all of them. And if you want to get that, use our exclusive discount code Torture19 at checkout. It's beardstruggle.com. Do what's right for your beard. Do what's right for your face. Now, as you can see, no animals are mentioned in that previous statement, or whippings. It's also mentioned in two other law documents from around that time, the Lex Cornelia de Cicerillis and the Lex Pompeia de Parasitis. Now, I'm not going to get a whole lot into that. It's mentioned in them. Now, much like every law, its use was subject to the whims of the emperor of the time. Augustus, who ruled from 27 BC to 14 AD, was reluctant to use the Poena Cola. As written by the historian Sustinius in Augustus's biography, quote, "Furthermore, he administered justice not only with the utmost care, but also with compassion, as it is illustrated in the case of a defendant clearly guilty of parricide, to keep him from being sewn into the sack. Only those who confessed suffered this punishment." Augustus reportedly asked, "Surely you did not kill your father?" He's like, "I'm giving you a lifeline. Take it."
Yeah.
"You didn't kill your father, did you?" He's like, "Oh, well, I mean, yeah, I did." "No, you didn't do that." "Well, sure. No, I kind of did." "No, you didn't kill your father. He's like, "I'm pretty sure I did." But then you jump a few years up to Emperor Claudius, 41 AD to 54 AD, and he absolutely loved Poena Cola, Cola, however you want to pronounce it. In fact, he sewed more men into the sack in 5 years than were in all the previous centuries combined. He actually used it more than he used crucifixions. And the Romans love their fucking crucifixions. There's a whole big story about it in some book. And it was around this time where snakes would be used. A few decades later, we could find evidence of the monkey being used. And sometime after that, the dog and the rooster were introduced. We know because of the writings of the mid-third century by the jurist Modestinus, quote, "According to the customs of our ancestors, the punishment instituted for parricide was as follows. A parricide is flogged with a blood-colored rod, then sewn up in a sack with a dog, a dunghill cock, a viper, and a monkey. Then the sack is thrown into the depths of the sea. This is the procedure if the sea is close at hand. Otherwise, he's thrown to the beasts, according to the constitution of the deified Hadrian," who was, around at the time. Okay, there are a lot of Latin names here. I'm sure I'm fucking up a few of them. Deal with it. I don't speak Latin.
Of course you are.
And my guess is most people out there. Neither do you. So fuck off. So you're saying that wrong. Do you speak Latin? Well, no. The shut up.
Tell them how you really feel, Kevin. Don't hold back now.
I'm sick and tired of all these Latin elites coming at me about how I don't speak Latin perfectly, and you're all up there high and mighty in your fucking toga. You tell the story, goddamn it. You come to a podcast. First podcast on the leftiest. That still fucking kills me. Yes. Oh, I know that picture. That's actually one of the articles that I got a lot of this from, was where that picture is found. Probably what we'll use for the logo. Ooh, for the show.
It's pretty cool.
It is a cool picture.
Yeah. It's like those, I don't know if you did it in school or not, if you did art, but like when you do an art, you get the clay.
Do the negative.
And you etch it out.
Yeah, we did that. Yeah, it's a good time. Good time. Now, by this time, it wasn't really being used too much anymore. They were more inclined to throw you into the arena to fight the lions for entertainment purposes. So this is one of those things that kind of, depending on who the ruler is, it kind of goes into fashion, comes into fashion, out of fashion, into fashion. You know, back and forth for like 1,000 fucking years.
Like hats.
Yeah, exactly. Then Constantine came into power, and he brought it all back and expanded it. Now, up until this time, it had mostly been used on people that killed their parents. But Constantine decided to include parents or grandparents that killed the children. And although it would seem that we were back to using only the snakes now. Quote, whoever secretly or openly shall hasten the death of a parent or son or other near relative whose murder is accounted as parricide will suffer the penalty of parricide. He will not be punished by the sword, by fire, or by some other ordinary form of execution, but he will be sewn up in a sack and, in this dismal prison, have serpents as his companions. Depending on the nature of the locality, he shall be thrown into a neighboring sea or into the river, so that even while living, he may be deprived of the enjoyment of the elements, the air being denied him while living, and internment in the earth when dead. November 16th, 318. So, you know. Well, at least I'll be able to breathe while I'm dying. Nope, take the air away from him. Well, at least I'll be able to enjoy the earth after I'm dead. Ah, throw him in the water!
But he still has one of the elements, though. That's the thing. He still has the water. Don't worry.
But if it's a waterproof sack, it can't get in there. He's just going to spend the rest of eternity. I'm surprised we don't go out to the ocean and just see a bunch of sacks with skeletons in them just floating, yeah, just floating around. Yeah. What is that? Oh, fucking Romans.
Well, if you go listen to the first podcast on the leftiest, you'll find out all about.
Now, then when Justinian came into power in the 530s, we see the other animals brought back into the fold. As written in the Corpus Juris Civilis, a massive body of law created by Emperor Justinian, quote, anyone who dares openly or secretly to hasten the end of an ascendant or son or any relative within the term parricide, and anyone who intentionally procures such a death, and any co-conspirators, even if outside the family, shall suffer the punishment for parricide. He is not put to the sword, nor to fire, nor to any other custom hallowed death, but is sewn into a sack with a dog, a cock, a snake, and a monkey, and sealed in it with those bestial inmates. He is thrown, as the nature of the place allows, into the nearby sea or river. In this way, while he still lives, he loses the use of every element. The sky is taken from him before he dies, and the earth is denied him when he is dead.
I would think it'd be fucking hilarious if you're thrown into a sack filled with a bunch of cocks, but not the animal cock, a bunch of flaccid penises, thrown into the river, a raging river, nothing but filled with penises. Just,
are all these penises on a necklace? What's
yeah. filled with spices.
Filled spices. That's a callback to a different thing, a D&D thing. Guy gets in. He's like, "What the fuck?" They look in the sack. They're like, "Oh,
it's a bag of dicks."
Did Josh do this one? Did Josh fill this one up? He's just over there with a knife. You said cook. So why those animals?
That's where a bag of dicks came from. Snake or viper. That's where it must be where a bag of dicks came from.
Yes, a bag of dicks, yes.
Has to be where that came from.
That's where bag of dicks came from. That was probably the episode. That was probably the name of the episode of first podcast on the Lefty. Buena Cool.
Big old bag of dicks.
A bag of dicks. Big bag of dicks. We had coming up with so many titles for this episode today. We're going to have a hell of a time. So why these animals? A snake or viper, a rooster, a dog, and a monkey or ape? Well, if the Romans wanted to find even more vicious animals to put in the sack, they could have easily. I mean, they had lions, for Christ's sake. So we can only figure that it was more of a symbolic or ritualistic step. Snakes were then considered demonic. The rooster could possibly be associated with sunrise or mornings. Why the monkey and dog? Who fucking knows?
Yeah,
I had some great, I wish I had some great realization about the symbolism of each animal and how they fit into the crime of parasite. But honestly, I think they just said, "Hey, what animals can we throw in there with them to really fuck shit up?" And they came up with those four. They're just looking around, picking shit up off the ground. Yeah, throw that in there too. Who gives a shit?
He's like, "Hey, you got this dog here." God damn it, Steve. Okay.
We've been doing snakes for a long time. I think we should mix it up a little bit.
I
know a guy
snakes.
That's got a monkey. he's selling them down by the gas and stop back by the strip mall. He's got a few of them. Well, some capuchins we could throw in there. He's like, somebody grab that dog and somebody grab that chicken. It's just, I feel like that's how it was. Just whatever the emperor at the time just had those laying around his house. He's like, throw those in. Fucking things are a nuisance, shitting all over my house. Just get rid of them. Now, the punishment was eventually abolished in the Byzantine Empire around the late 9th century, where it was replaced with just simply being thrown into a fire by Emperor Leo VI the Wise. He's like, "You know what? Should we get the sack, sir? Now, you know what? This is just so much fucking work. We're running out of snakes.
Yeah.
Just fucking throw. See that bonfire? Just throw him in. Fuck it. But he'll contaminate the fire." Yeah, shut the fuck up with that ritualistic bullshit. Just kill the guy. Just fucking get rid of him. I don't want to hear it. Just go. Go. "You are wise." "Yes, I know. I'm Leo VI, the wise. That's what they call me. Just fucking go do what I told you to do." As he adjusts his toga and walks off stage.
That's why they called him the wise, yeah. It's because he realized it was all a bunch of shite.
Yep. He's like, "I know what's going on here." Yeah. You ever watch The Good Place?
I don't think so. I might
There's
have.
One I can't.
I don't know.
I can't remember his name, and I think his name actually might have been Dan, but I'm trying to remember. But there's a whole thing about what is the good place? Where do you go? What religion is right? And there's one guy who got it right when he was high on like mescaline or something like that, and he figured it all out, and he was the wise one. And that's why I feel like Leo. Is that. He's just the wise one. He figured out it was all just a bunch of bullshit. Just do whatever the fuck you want. Throw the guy in the fire. Who cares?
Completely reinvented the wheel.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like, "Hey, like, we have this really funky little machine here, Mr. Wise. You know, it's has this spring and it opens up like a flower and put it in our mouth and we can like go." Yeah, and he's like, Just get the hammer.
Use that thing on gloves. Yeah. Stretch them out. All my gloves are tight. Use that on the gloves. I'm just going to fucking get a piece of wood and hit him with it.
Yep.
Why are you making things so complicated? S.A.I. Leo the Sixth. So yeah, they abolished it in the Byzantine Empire about the 9th century. However, we couldn't really have an episode of torture without bringing up medieval Europe. Historian Floric Egmund writes that Puna Kula had its heyday, during the 15th century and early 17th centuries, but was widely known in various parts of German-speaking countries, the Netherlands, France, Spain, and Italy, from the early 13th until the mid of the 18th centuries. It appears in the Sieti Partitus, a legislative body introduced in 13th century Castile by King Alfonso X, and with all the characteristics, sack, animals, water, although over time it tended to be carried out only metaphorically. This is where I said earlier it's going to get kind of silly. The condemned was dragged to the scaffold in a soron, a bale or parcel wrapped in animal hide, usually containing exotic substances. Dragged by some beast of burden. They really punched home the fact, and I didn't really have it in there, but they really punched home the fact that every time you were dragged to the river or to the ocean or whatever, the Mediterranean Sea, that it was the cart or whatever you were in was dragged by black oxen. That was always, it had to be dragged by black oxen.
Okay.
They just picked whatever beast of burden they had, probably a fucking donkey or something they had just standing there doing nothing, talking to its ogre friend about fucking parfaits and onions and bullshit.
It was the extra cocks. So just a sea of cocks pulling the product.
It's a sea of cocks. Again, I said cock. Now, this was something that would continue to be done until like the middle of the 19th century, where somebody would be carried to wherever they're going by a beast of burden. And then the corpse, because you're already dead. All right. This was after the execution. The corpse was introduced into a bucket that had a dog, a monkey, a rooster, and a snake painted on it, and which was simulated to be thrown into the water before burial. So,
when that guy said it was like the historian, sorry, was saying it's like the fucking, was it Pona Cola thing had it? Pwene Cola had like its heyday or whatever, or its best time here. It's like what he actually meant was this is like its load and reload era where it's just fucking ridiculous and stupid and terrible.
Yeah. They do use it, but they change it up a lot. Mostly, you know, like all these German-speaking countries, Netherlands, France is a Germanic language, Spanish, Italy. They kind of bastardized it, I guess. They'd be like, oh, let's just do this for the fuck of it. I'll paint a little puppy dog on the side of it or whatever. You know. But in Germany, where it survived the most, go figure, evidenced in the 12th century by the Saxon Spiegel, or the Saxon Mirror, the most important penal code of the Germanic Middle Ages, there were some differences. However, the rooster was not included, and the serpent, again, it's kind of silly for no fucking reason, the serpent was represented only pictorially on a piece of paper. So they just drew a snake on a piece of paper and threw it in the sack. Like, here, take that.
Sitting there with a piece of paper going. Shoving it in their faces.
So many paper cuts.
Yeah.
I'm scared of even drawing some snakes. And the monkey was replaced with a cat.
Well, that is worse.
That's a lot worse. A mad monkey and a mad cat. I'd take the monkey anytime. I feel like I can get down to the monkey's level, and I feel like I can reason with the monkey. There's no reasoning with an angry cat. They're just gonna do whatever the fuck they want. Fuck you.
I thought of a name for the episode.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. What's cock that? In the sack.
Cock in the sack.
The cock in the sack.
Cock in the sack. The cat was often separated from the prisoner by a sewn cloth. So they're just kind of put in like a pocket.
So the fucking snakes on a piece of paper. The other shit's in a pocket.
Snakes and paper. So the other thing, so it's you and a dog, which honestly, for the dog's probably like, hey, this is cool. I just get to cuddle up next to this human, and he's going to pet me until, you know, we both die of suffocation. Oh, and there's a cat down in a pocket down at the bottom. This is great.
What's the fucking point?
I don't know. There's no point really to any of it. Moreover, the sack was not made of leather, but of linen, which facilitated death by drowning rather than asphyxiation. Now, this meant shortening the suffering, something that was sometimes sought and sometimes not. Sometimes they wanted people to die quickly. Sometimes they wanted you to suffer.
So sometimes they shot them before they put them in, and then other times they didn't put them in at all. Sometimes they only put their foot in while they kept the cat in a box 16 miles away from them and threatened them with potentially coming near them with the cat.
We're going, if you say one more word, I'll get the cat out. So what they do is they put you in the sack with the cat. The cat kills you. And then they put the cat in the pocket, and then they throw you in the river.
That makes sense.
A case recorded in Dresden in which a leather sack waterproofed with pitch was used to make the agony of its occupant last longer. But the sack burst open when it hit the water. When I read that, all I could think of was fucking Paul Bernardo.
Yeah.
Paul Bernardo was in charge of throwing this sack in the water, and it just explodes. All the contents go everywhere.
Say, Paul, you didn't make that sack out of leather, right? He's like, leather? I thought you said crackers. I thought you said make the sack out of crackers. It's like, no, Paul, you can't make a sack out of crackers. But I can get my, we can put my dick in a sandwich. That's exactly how he sounds.
But the invisible darkness, let me make a sack out of crackers. I like all the tar that you painted on this. It's darkness and it's invisible. I put my hat on backwards, man. Come at me, guy. We can't get away from him.
Fuck you, Paul Bernardo.
Anyway, the sack burst open when it hit the water, and the animals were able to escape. They just swam off. The condemned, however, presumably tied up, drowned. So,
what's the point?
You gotta think, that's just a weird day for that cat and dog. It's just like, okay, now we're in a sack.
Yeah,
Who the fuck is this?
Like, don't worry. We stuck the cat in the pocket with water-soluble glue, so as soon as it hits the water, it'll open up and the cat can just fuck off into the distance and have no interaction with this person in the sack whatsoever.
Just gotta think. There's a tabby just walking down the street, and like, I don't know, a poodle walking next to it. They're the Disney couple, just the cat and the dog, just walking down the street. Oliver and fucking company just walking down the street. They grab him, throw him in a sack. Now all of a sudden they're like, well, why are we in a sack? Who the fuck is this guy? And they throw him in the, why are we in the water now? Swim for your life. What about the guy? Fuck the guy.
Yeah.
It's just a weird day for a cat and a dog just out of nowhere. Now you're in a sack. Now you're in the water.
Now you're out of the water and you're fine. It's all good.
You get out, they shake off, and they go about their fucking business.
Realistically, like, you know, that being a big part of what the whole concept of the torture method of, and to do with the death, right, to remove all those things from it and just have them as more like symbolic, right, is nearly like doing like the Ling Chi, and they pull out one of the knives and then they walk over and they stab a dummy with it instead and go, how'd you like that? You know, or you're in the Brazen Bull, you know, and they light a barbecue off to the side somewhere. You know, and they're just like, yeah. Can't handle the heat.
Something like that.
Get out of kitchens.
Or, no, it's the head crusher with the cantaloupe. They just put a cantaloupe in your head. Be like, huh? I'm going to squeeze it more. Kill your mother. Anyway, the last time this punishment was handed out was in 1734, somewhere in Saxony. However, according to some sources, it could have been
depending on where you read
Saxon. Say what?
So depending on where you read or what you read.
Depending on what you read. Don't come at me saying it was still happening in the 1900s. Now, according to some sources, it could have been in the Saxon city of Sitawa, where the last case is alleged to have happened in 1749. 1761, the Poena Kula was definitively abolished. Now, if any of this sounds familiar, mostly the sack and the water, not so much the animals, it's because we spoke about it briefly, I believe, last year, when Gil de Rais's father did the very same thing to Gil's mother-in-law.
Oh, that's true.
Sewed her up in a sack and threw her in the river.
Yeah, and like the line at somebody or something.
Well,
he left the kid for the line. That was later on. That's a different thing.
And they send a messenger and he captures the messenger and locks him up and all that shit. Yeah. If you want to know more about that, go listen to our episode on Guy de Rais. It's a good one. It's a long one. It's a good one. Joan of Arc and all that bullshit. Dan, do you have any pop culture for this? I can't imagine. There's a whole lot.
No. The thing is, I immediately, when you told me about this, thought, not of like patricide, I thought of witches. I thought that this was part of what they did to...
Kind of like a ducking witches. Stool.
But, you can find things to do with patricide or parasite, whatever way you want to pronounce it.
Well, patricide is the murder of your father. Parasite is the murder of a close relative.
Yeah. Ah, right. But, there's going to be... There's bits of that in pop culture stuff and all, and there's no Taylor Swift songs about it, though. But,
when her and Travis Kelce break up, there's going to be a Parasite song.
Yeah. Parasite, yeah. But, probably the most famous instance of it is in mythology. Just got old Cronus killing his father.
Go figure.
So, yeah, Cronus killed Uranus by putting a big cock in his sack. And then he was overthrown by Zeus. I couldn't see anything specific.
Yeah.
Or nothing that was worth talking about, if you get me. Something you'd cover, I don't think, in a movie. Like,
no. Well, you can always check out, I believe it's season 5, episode 10 of First Podcast on the Leftiest. They cover it to nauseam. Other than that, I don't know. I don't know of any pop culture that's out there. Maybe it's best some things just aren't brought back into popular culture. Maybe this is just one of those that we...
Yeah, well, to be fair, right, when it comes to pop culture stuff and torture things, it tends to be the things that don't need explaining, that are just visually represented when you can look at it and kind of go, oh yeah, that's the rack, that's an Iron Maiden, that's this. You can see without having much explanation. Now, to be fair, if I was watching a TV show or a film and they cracked out a sack, threw a guy into it and threw a fucking chicken, a snake, a dog and a monkey into that and shaked and baked his ass like that, I would be really, really confused. And I'd say that is why it's probably not used in
movies. You'd say that never happened. That's
yeah, too, like what
some of these things that we cover, they're too wild to if somebody was just tell you that, if you see this in a movie, you'd be like, oh, that never fucking happened.
Yeah.
When it did. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just,
I would be thinking, holy fuck, that's gotta suck.
Yeah, well,
I don't think I'd be years confused. That's innovative. Did they just come up with that? Nah,
it's kind of like the Family Guy episode of tortures, if you think about it. It's just like it's just random shit and throw it all in a bag.
He's fighting the giant chicken. He's fighting.
No, kind of more like the way South Park took the piss out of it, saying about how it was written by manatees and in a water tank where they picked the, it's kind of like that, the way, just the most, like, remember the time we met Muhammad wearing a salmon helmet? It's that kind of thing, but in torture, it's literally think of the most random things you could think of, throw them all into a bag together and chuck it into the water and let's see what happens.
It's that scene from Apollo 11 where they're trying to get everybody back home. They're trying to get Tom Hanks.
It's the air filter thing.
And they just throw out a bunch of shit onto a table. It's like, this is what we have to work with. Let's figure it out. And they just throw it out on the table. It's just a sack, a chicken, a snake, a monkey. There's a dog over in the corner. They'll get to that later. There's also like a screwdriver, an air filter, some plastic cups. Now, what can we do here?
Dave, you've been trying to get rid of that chicken for months.
There's one guy picks up the sack and starts putting the cups in it. They're like, no. That won't work. That's not good. Puts the monkey in there and they're like, now
we're sucking diesel.
Oh fuck.
Yeah.
Well,
ridiculous. I think it's hilarious and brilliant and horrible all at the same time.
Yeah. It's creative. I'll give him that. It's definitely creative. I would never came up with it.
Yeah.
Put him in a
like who thought of putting
a
cat pocket into it though, you know. It's, it's like, hey, you ate me sack of my cat pocket.
Cat pocket. Like, do you guys have Hot Pockets over there? You know what I'm talking about? Hot Pockets? Yeah. Cat pocket. Thank you to our patrons, Willow Quinn Fowler and MX Sinister 26. I believe MX had emailed us and was telling Spotify Wrapped. It's that time of the year. Everybody's putting out their Spotify Wrapped. And we put ours out if you want to see it, where we rank and how good we did for the year. Go to our Instagram, our TikTok videos on there. But he emailed us and was like, hey, you guys, you know, you're my number one podcast. Look, and he showed me the Spotify thing. I was like, that's fucking awesome. And, you know, we're the number one. We're number one for a handful of people.
We're number one. We're
a couple,
number one.
A couple handfuls of people on there. And in top five for even more, and top 10 for like 400 or something. So
sweet.
So it's a small accomplishment, but it's still an accomplishment. We're going to celebrate it. So
it's a good accomplishment. Like we were celebrating our numbers recently, and it wasn't that long ago we were celebrating. Was it 10,000?
10,000, and we're already up.
We're past 13, as of today, we're over 13. So thank you.
Yeah, the little steps are the best steps. But if you want to see that, you can go to our TikTok or our Instagram at TorturePod. You can get a hold of us through email, like MX did, and TorturePod@gmail.com. While you're on our socials, you can go ahead and click on our link tree and donate there. Or you can find all our links there. You can also donate buymeacoffee.com/TorturePod, buy us coffee. Go to our YouTube page, where we have, you know, if you like your podcast with a video, which is it's not much of a video, but it's something if you listen to podcasts on YouTube. You can support us by going to Patreon and signing up for a free 1 week trial of our cult leader tier.
Then you get a better video.
You get a much better video. This it comes video. With quite a bunch of shit. And if you like it, you can sign up and pay however much you feel like paying for whichever tier you want. And if not, okay. And one of the best ways to support us is go to redbubble.com/people/torturepod, buy some of our merch, which I don't think either one of us is actually wearing right now.
This is my first time not wearing any.
I got my hat right here. I just don't have it on. I just didn't feel like putting on a hat today.
Yeah.
But you know, I got a breast cancer awareness t-shirt on, which is fine.
Right. I have a t-shirt on for a different crowd. So it's for a music group thing. It's that pedal show for any of the musos out there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you had told me about that, I think, before.
Yeah, love those guys.
Maybe. Yeah. Hint for our next episode. It's beginning to look a lot like murder. The sequel with a special guest who, again, still, much like Santa, is jolly and from the great white north.
Assuming he replies. Yeah, I'm going to text
Dan,
him right now.
Dan, any words of wisdom?
If you're allergic to cats, don't kill any of your family members.
In Germany, at least.
No, Germany, you're fine because they put it in a cat pocket.
Oh, that's true. That's true. They separate. Yeah, it's in a pocket.
Yeah. Outside of just this stuff right here, not really. No, it's if you kill a family member, go out and buy some good old wing sauce before you do. And then bring it into the sack with you.
Just going to eat the chicken raw?
Yeah. Well,
you might as well die of salmonella.
Yeah.
If you're going to die of salmonella.
You're going to die of suffocation before that. You know, so if you manage to get, and as well as that, you can throw the hot sauce in the eyes of a monkey or something like that, and it'll keep it away from you.
The animals are going to rip you apart long before you die of suffocation. If it's a viper, you're dead anyway.
You cover yourself in hot sauce and they won't go near you.
There you go.
Sitting there with Franks, covered in Franks. Just be like, come get me, motherfuckers.
I figured you'd say something like, if you're playing Baldur's Gate, make sure you initiate something romantic between you and your partner. Otherwise, you'll go through the whole thing and never realize that you could have had sex with them the whole time.
Yeah, you gotta make sure you get the best out of those dick physics that you can. did the worst thing about that, though, is, you know, I wouldn't say anything like that, sadly, because of the fact that it's a specific action needs. It's not as if, like, it doesn't even give you the option if you don't. It's like, it was like something like, I didn't get a flower at the exact right time or something stupid like that. And it's like, I literally, like, saved the world for you. And you're just like, no.
Like, yeah, but remember you didn't give me a flower a while back time. Where you didn't make this one decision? If you want to know what the fuck we're talking about, go sign up for our cult leader tier. Listen to the extended episode, and you'll know. Also, Godzilla is a representation of the atomic bomb. Not supposed to be a hero. Supposed to be a villain.
I always knew he was a villain. Why does anybody ever think he's not a villain?
Because he fights with Kong to take on Mechagodzilla, and he saves people.
That's
the whole
in
thing.
One movie, though. Like, every other film, he's an asshole.
But still, well, in the Godzilla movie from the late 90s, early 2000s, he was with Matthew Broderick, he was actually a she, and she was protecting her eggs. She was just being a mother.
But she came out of the water and went around destroying the place long before she put those eggs in that stadium.
Well, technically, if you remember right, all she did was walk around for a while until we started shooting shit at her. Then she started running through buildings.
Yeah, she stood on top of people.
If you remember from the Godzilla movie that came out a few years ago, there used to be all these monsters that lived on, you know, on the surface, and Godzilla was the one that kept them all in check, and this Mayo Mothra was trying to kill people, and Godzilla was protecting us, so Godzilla's not a hero. Godzilla's supposed to be a villain, just so you know. Again, if you want to know what the fuck we're talking about or why we're talking about this, go sign up for the cult leader tier. Listen to the extended episode. It'll be on there.
So there's my word of wisdom for you then. In that case, is if you see Godzilla, do not assume that he is your friend. Assume he is your enemy. Godzilla will
stranger
not sit
danger.
Down and have a tea party with you. Godzilla,
Godzilla is stranger danger.
Yeah.
If he says, hey kid, my... your mom told me to come pick you up from school. She can get in the back of my windowless van. You say, what's the code word? I'm not supposed to get in vehicles with Godzillas. I don't know. All right. I think that's enough silliness from us. Take care of yourselves and take care of one another. We'll see you.
Sayonara.
Welcome to Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection. This is the place where Black is the main character, where we don't jump through hoops just to hear our voice and can fall in love with illuminating documentaries like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey.
I'm just a hard worker that's trying to survive.
Enjoy the animated series, The Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy.
All doctors report immediately!
Where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction.
Welcome home, baby!
Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love.
I want my music to unify people.
And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop.
This is the cleanest police car I've ever been in my life.
And BMF.
You're about to take over the whole nation.
Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Prime Video, find your happy place. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.